I think what's important now is for us to understand that John Gruden's not unique. John Gruden's a powerful decision maker. There are a lot of other powerful decision makers who harbor the same views as John Gruden. So I hope that this is an opportunity for a lot of people to do some soul searching, and not just white people, everybody, everyone, do some soul searching about the way that you feel and the way that it influences the things that you do.
That is our own Dominique Foxworth, seeing the bigger picture with the leaked emails that took down John Gruden. ESPN's former Monday Night Football announcer and one of the richest and most famous head coaches in the NFL. And as the words Gruden wrote, racist, homophobic, misogynistic as they are, rattle the consciences and inboxes of America, Raiders beat writer Paul Gutierrez gives us the view from Las Vegas. And then Emily Applegate, a former employee of the Washington Football Team, tells us about the investigation that started all of this. An investigation whose real results we may never see. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, October 13th. This is ESPN Daily. Paul Gutierrez, where are you at this moment, man?
Hey, Pablo. Yeah, I am actually in the Raiders media workroom, trying to get as much work done as possible, trying to keep track of everything that's been going on. And it's been a whirlwind, especially when you consider that 8 days ago, this was a team that was riding high, 3-0, getting ready to play on Monday Night Football. And there were whispers of playoff appearances and maybe even a Super Bowl. And yet here we are now, they're kind of restarting after the whole email controversy and things like that. They've shocked a lot of people, not only in this building, but also across the country.
Yeah, man, you're in the middle of a story that has consumed entire news cycles at this point. And how did this news get to you in the first place? How did you hear about this?
Yeah, it was, well, like the rest of the world, really. I mean, we had our regular Friday presser with John Gruden. And, he talked about facing the Bears. And this is on Friday afternoon. He walks off the podium. And about 15 minutes later, the Wall Street Journal story hits.
Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden used a racist comment in referring to NFL Players Association leader Demoris Smith in an email 10 years ago.
You can just see everybody grabbing their phones here in the media workroom and looking and walking and sharing. And oh, my gosh, can you see this?
Yeah. So let's just drill down for people who aren't somehow aware of what was said in that email that was first reported by the Journal about Demoris Smith, Paul, because this was an email that he wrote in 2011. He used racist terms to denounce Demoris Smith, who's the executive director of the NFL Players Association. And he said this, quote, Demoris, and this is D-U-M-B, making a joke about his name to start with, insulting his intelligence, Demoris Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires, which, of course, invokes ancient tropes about black people and lip size and all of that. What did Gruden say when this came out, when you talked to him? What was his explanation there to start?
Yeah, so in talking with John, he said basically that he called people that lie to him or that he catches lying or that are just known liars, in his opinion, rubber lips. And that basically you kind of extrapolate that out in his mind, and that Demoris Smith to him was such a liar, his rubber lips were the size of tires. Well, because there's so much rubber involved in making tires, I guess. He also said, you know what, you can make of that what you will, but there was never a racial thought in my mind. I didn't think of race when I said it. He was just, to me, a liar. I was frustrated with what was going on with the lockout at the time, with him being the head of the NFLPA. And he also, acknowledged later that he said some pretty vulgar things about the commissioner, Roger Goodell. So that was his explanation, said he just wasn't in a good place at the time. He was actually working for ESPN covering on Monday Night Football in 2011.
Yes.
So that's what he just said, that he was just frustrated. And in his opinion, he was sending a private email to a very close friend of his, Bruce Allen, who also happened to be the president of the Washington Football Team. And that's what a lot of fans, I don't think, really realize at this time, was this was not a targeted investigation into John Gruden. It was an investigation into the Washington Football Team, and they came across these emails authored by John. But anybody you talk to that's been around him is stunned at the verbiage that he used in those emails.
Yeah, I mean, Gruden defended himself by using a phrase that I won't forget anytime soon. He said, I never had, quote, a blade of racism in me. And then all of this is the pretext for that game against the Bears on Sunday. This is a huge game in Vegas, Paul. You were there. They play poorly with this as the backdrop, the team does. There's a press conference that also, by the way, not a thing I'm going to forget anytime soon.
But I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all. I can't remember a lot of the things that transpired 10 or 12 years ago, but I stand here in front of everybody apologizing. I know I'm not, I don't have an ounce of racism in me. And again, I apologize to D. Smith and anybody out there that I have offended.
But then this takes us into Monday evening. And what happens with the New York Times, as you recall it now?
Yeah, I mean, I was legitimately sitting with some friends in a sports bar getting ready to watch on Monday Night Football and a couple baseball games. You know, that's when the New York Times story drops. And then, again, you see people in the restaurant, in the sports bar, pulling their phones up and looking. And you start reading the New York Times story, and it's like, uh-oh, oh, no, oh, wow.
A report from the New York Times, which reviewed emails that Gruden had sent between 2011 and early 2018, in which he used racist, misogynistic, and anti-gay language.
It just was one of those things where you figured he's not going to survive this. The only question is how long before he either announces his resignation or the Raiders announce he's fired. A meeting took place shortly thereafter here at the Raider facility, and I was told that it was a very emotional meeting, and you can understand why. You know, it doesn't excuse anything that he wrote or anything that he said in the past, but this was a guy that Mark Davis really chased truly for 7 years. He called it a 7-year dance for me, and pinned 10 years and $100 million on the hopes of John Gruden righting what once went wrong, so to speak. And so much they invested in him to make this move here to Vegas, and his face was plastered all over town on billboards when they were building the stadium to better lure season ticket holders. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, you mentioned Mark Davis. That's the current owner of the team, of course, the son of Al, the late Al Davis, the legendary Hall of Fame owner of this team. And I also just want to be clear here about the scope of what came out in Gruden's emails, because it is really a laundry list of textbook problematic, bigoted takes and insults of all varieties sent between 2011 and 2018, reportedly, starting when he was working for ESPN and Monday Night Football.
In one of those emails, he called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a homophobic slur. In another email, he said that Goodell should not have pressured Jeff Fisher, then the coach of the Rams, to draft Michael Sam, a gay player chosen by the team in 2014. Gruden also criticized Goodell and the league for hiring female referees and trying to reduce concussions. And he said Eric Reid, a player who had demonstrated during the national anthem, should be fired.
He calls Roger Goodell the F word, the worst slur you could use against gay people, and a clueless anti-football P word.
And that's the thing here is he said what he said, right? And before all this avalanche came yesterday, I thought Josh Jacobs, the Raiders running back, probably put it best. He's known John Gruden for 3 years. He drafted him in the first round. And as Josh put it, you know, for 3 years, he's never made me feel a certain way about him. But at the end of the day, he said what he said. Then again, it was 10 years ago, and people can grow. Just yesterday, with everything that came out, it was too far. It was too much.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the players that I think it's logical to think of in that moment as the news is leaking out is Carl Nassib, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is a player we've talked about. This is the first openly gay player in NFL history, a guy that Gruden had publicly backed, saying that differences is what makes a man great. That was his line in public. I mean, what entered your mind as Nassib is concerned, as players then were going to be asked to react to all of this?
I've been told that inside the building, you know, obviously it's Tuesday when we're talking right now, and it's a day off for the players. So the players aren't in the building. But there's a lot of people in the building that are, you know, I'm not trying to be drama here or anything, but devastated. If for no other reason, then they're like, wow, what if he could say that in private, what did he think about me in private? And how does that affect me? And I thought I knew him and things like that. And yet you got other people that are like, no, I never heard him say any of those things. And he only treated me well.
Have you reached out to any of these players, Paul, since the Time story came out?
Absolutely. But they're not responding, and that's understandable. And this is a different time. We don't have access to a locker room, right? So I've seen this story play out before, not necessarily this story, but when a team faces controversy like this or gets punched in the mouth, and how does it respond? Now we're not allowed in the locker room. So I put out texts, I've DM'd players, nobody's responded. And really they've all stayed pretty quiet on social media as well. Willie Snead put out something this morning. And again, he's a first-year player, doesn't really know John Gruden all that well, but he said, you know, it's hard to live right when you don't act right, or something to that effect. So that is about as far as we've gotten from a player reaction so far. We do have player availability tomorrow. I suggested they got to get all five team captains up there, because that's why they're team captains. They got to speak for the team, especially in this situation where we don't have access to a locker room.
All right, Paul, after the break, I want to know if the Raiders saw the second wave of emails and media reports coming, and if they also know what's coming next.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Was there a sense that the Raiders were anticipating the avalanche? Because that's one of the questions, Paul, now in retrospect, as we Tuesday morning quarterback all of this, is, wait a minute, if there were more emails to come and he got to coach on Sunday, did you guys have any sense that there was going to be a reckoning like this? Because in retrospect, obviously, there is a lot to criticize about the approach as to how this was handled by this organization.
Yeah, and a lot of that depends upon, like I said, the avalanche that came from the New York Times. Nobody really can answer the question for me anyway. Is that the same group of emails that the Raiders were privy to on Friday? Because if so, then there are some questions to be answered. If you knew this is exactly what he said, what the world saw on Monday, why then was he allowed to coach on Sunday? If the league was just waiting for the Raiders to do something and the Raiders weren't going to do anything and just kind of wait out the storm, okay, here you go. Boom. Here's everything else. Yeah. Look, it doesn't matter how this happened. It was kind of dirty the way they went after him, but not as dirty as what he said.
Hmm. So the other voice in all of this who has been out in front and very public, of course, is Demoris Smith. That's the guy who was disparaged. That's the head of the players union. That's the guy who had this racist comment directed at him. How would you describe what Demoris Smith has had to say throughout this saga?
As a journalist, you kind of follow the money, so to speak, right? You look at the drip, drip, drip of everything that's happened. And he put out a statement on Twitter yesterday, about an hour, if that, before the New York Times story came. So somebody somewhere knew something. Doesn't mean anything. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it is interesting the way this whole thing played out and the way he's handled it professionally. And as a man of color, I appreciate what he was saying about, hey, this is what they say about us behind closed doors. They still don't think that we belong at the table. And the way Demoris has handled it, I think, has been above board and it's been all class.
Yeah, I mean, look, the longest tenured black coach in the NFL, Paul, is Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. And this whole story is about representation, who gets to say what, who gets away with what. Tomlin notably worked for John Gruden. They worked together in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. And he very succinctly said via the NFL Network, quote, "I'm just saddened by it. I'm saddened for the Raiders organization. I'm saddened for the people that were offended by it. I'm saddened for Coach Gruden." And he added, quote, "That's all I really have to say about it," end quote.
Yeah, it encapsulates, I think, what everybody feels, because if you feel you know somebody and then you see behind the curtain and it's not at all what you thought, and it's actually kind of horrifying, the things that are being said, it hurts. It hurts because now you're all of a sudden questioning your own judgment in a way without really realizing you're doing. It's like, wait a minute, I kind of respected this person. I kind of understood him. I felt like I kind of connected with him. And yet, poof, it's all, your whole imagery is gone. So, and there's so many coaches around the league that were given a shot by John when he was in Tampa Bay, like Mike Tomlin and others. And again, when you think of what the Raider organization has stood for so many years, especially, under Al Davis, when it comes to hiring the first black head coach in modern NFL history in Art Shell in 1989, Tom Flores being the first Latino coach to win a Super Bowl, and he did it twice, and then just winning the Hall of Fame this offseason. Even the first female CEO, Amy Trask. This organization stands for something and not for what was revealed to be in those emails.
So who becomes the head coach of the Raiders from here, Paul? What's the forecast? What does that look like?
Well, Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach, he was the associate assistant head coach. So he gets elevated by title, if nothing else. And it makes sense. I mean, it's funny. I was describing him earlier as if you're looking at special teams coaches in the NFL, he's got the most juice of any because he does command the football field. He commands the locker room. A lot of fans are wondering, well, what about Gus Bradley? He's done a great job with the defense and he's been a head coach before. Well, let him just continue to work with the defense and try to keep that going. Well, what about Tom Cable? He was a head coach of the Raiders even way back before John Gruden started writing these emails. He's got his hands full with an offensive line. Plus he's got some baggage too, that would come back up if he was ever a head coach again. So Bisaccia makes all the sense in the world. And, he's not going to be the play caller. That actually is now going to fall to the offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen, who was more of a glorified quarterback coach anyway, because John was obviously the play caller. And there's a continuity there, a strange continuity, because Greg Olsen was actually the OC when Derek Carr was a rookie back in 2014. So there's a familiarity there that Raider fans and the Raiders themselves hope actually kind of comes to life now.
You mentioned Derek Carr, Paul, and look, the Gruden-Carr relationship was its own soap opera subplot for a long time. What happens to the quarterback of this team?
The soap opera type relationship between the two that was reported widely in the media, fans I don't think realize that John was Derek's staunchest defender in this building. He may have been his biggest critic behind closed doors, but he was also his staunchest defender, which is not to say that Derek was unliked by people in the front office or a person up there, but may not have, put it this way. In what I've been told is that if the Raiders had lost the game to Arizona a couple years ago, that Kyler Murray would have been the number one pick and they would have moved on at that point. So, but yet Derek has improved every year under John Gruden. And what's not to like when you see that? So now it's really up to Derek, because if he sulks and he kind of, takes a step back now with John gone, okay, then I would not bet on him coming back next year, because all the guaranteed money in his contract is up anyway. And if they cut him, it's with a zero cap hit next year and you start over. So as a couple of fans have tweeted at me already, Raiders in 22, head coach Eric Bieniemy, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and you kind of go from there.
Yeah. Why not? When the slate is now blank, why not wish for the moon and land on a star? Sure.
It's just crazy how quick the world can turn. And I know, we cover sports and it's not life or death, but it feels like it at times. And especially when something like this happens where the real world intrudes upon sports.
Paul Gutierrez, thank you for taking us behind the curtain on this story as you see it.
Thanks, Pablo.
And up next, how all of this actually started not with the Raiders, but with the Washington football team. And so we hear from a woman who worked there, who wants answers.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So it's important to note again that the Raiders are not the only team involved in the whole John Gruden revelations story. In fact, they weren't even the focus of the investigation that produced the emails from Gruden in the first place. The focus was actually the Washington football team, which began to be investigated because more than a dozen former employees, so many of them women, came forward to speak out about the extensive sexual harassment and misconduct that they experienced while working for that organization. One of those employees was Emily Applegate, who worked in marketing, and she went on the record with us back in July 2020. And so we called her up to get a reaction to this latest news this week and to learn what's happened since.
Oh my gosh, a lot has happened. Of course, we're all talking about right now the Beth Wilkinson investigation. So that took place. The reporting was given to the NFL, the commissioner, who opted to not receive anything in a written form, but receive things verbally, which on our end really put a bad taste in our mouth, to say the least, because we don't feel like we even got the respect of the NFL to hear what happened to us in a much more detailed way than just some articles in the Post. And so from that, right now, we're really trying to fight to get that report released.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify this then, because yes, attorney Beth Wilkinson was hired, then the NFL took over the investigation, and Beth Wilkinson reportedly verbally reported the results of that investigation, exclusively verbally, to Roger Goodell and the league. What do you know about the investigation and its findings?
The only thing I know from the investigation is, of course, my interview with them, and that they have found an email that was from John Gruden to Bruce Allen with racist and homophobic terminology. So what I know about the investigation is the same that you know about the investigation.
So I'm curious what your reaction was, Emily, when you learned about John Gruden's emails with Bruce Allen and others in the reporting in the Wall Street Journal and then the New York Times. What did you think when you saw that, when you read that?
Well, of course, your first thing is that there is no place for any kind of racist or homophobic remarks in the NFL or anywhere for that matter. The second thing that really comes to mind is that I don't want it to take away from the fact that all of this came up because of the sexual misconduct that was happening inside that office. So I'm happy that somebody like that is no longer around players that are Black men, or on the Raiders, you have an openly gay man. So I'm glad that that's out of there. However, now, if you have the ability to release one email out of the, I believe it was 650,000 emails, then the public deserves to see the rest of those. Let's find out what happened inside of those walls at that facility.
Yeah, I mean, reportedly here, 650,000 emails, documents. You know, this was an investigation that turned up all sorts of details that we are not privy to. What do you think the dribs and drabs that we've gotten, what does that suggest about what may be in the rest of them?
I think it's very clear that the rest of those emails is going to paint a picture of the harsh reality of what we all went through. And the harsh reality is what's going to get Dan Snyder and the Washington football team in the most trouble, and including the NFL. I think that when you release the report, sponsors are going to be so disgusted with the behavior that they're going to pull out. And now the NFL and the Washington football team is going to be losing money. And that's what it's going to come down to, is money. So once those actual reports are released, that's when you're going to start seeing the real bad, nitty-gritty, behind-the-scenes type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one of the details in the Times story that I just want to read to you, I'll quote from it. It says, quote, Gruden exchanged emails with Allen, that's Bruce Allen, former president of the Washington football team, with Allen and other men that included photos of women wearing only bikini bottoms, including one photo of two Washington team cheerleaders, end quote. And that part, when you saw that, I assume this resonated in ways that are both profound and disturbing.
Of course. I mean, as a woman, for one, and since we've all kind of became our own little group of cheerleaders for each other, I've met some of these women that have been cheerleaders for the team. So now I'm able to add a face to these stories, and I know them on a personal level, that it hurts my heart even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, so it's our understanding, and this has been reported in USA Today, that part of the NFL's investigation and the stipulations of it was that if the results would be kept confidential, then this thing would proceed. That's what the word is. What are you hoping in regard to more findings being released? What are you hoping to find out about the Washington football team in specific?
I mean, I just want to have them exposed for what I know was really going on, because I think that, you know, the Washington Post articles obviously did an amazing job reporting on the story, But at the same time, you're really not able to get the full detail, which I know is what this report has. And that would in turn put Dan Snyder, his family, his, you know, co-CEO or whatever you want to call his wife at this moment, that would put them in the hot seat to the fact that they have to take a great amount of action to really show empathy and to really make a difference, or they have to step away from the NFL, because we are in a time just in general where nobody is standing up for this kind of behavior anymore. So we shouldn't allow people like them to be in control if this is what's just going to continue.
Yeah, the behavior that we've seen in snippets and through your testimony and in that Washington Post story till today in these more recent reports, this degree of toxicity, I don't know a better word for it, this degree of toxicity in the culture, where do you think that stems from?
So I think it's the same as any kind of chain of command, right? You, even just growing up in your own household, you see how your parents behave and you take after them. So when you have a boss that is so willing to demean people, so willing to harass people, you start picking up on those behaviors because you think that you can get away with it. So it starts at the top and it just trickles down. And there have been stories that have not been reported of Dan Snyder demeaning grown men just to make himself feel better. And then in turn, those grown men decided to demean us. So it just starts from the top and makes its way down.
So the NFL, on their part, they have fined the Washington football team $10 million as a result of the investigation, whose results that you are asking to see. The money will be used, quote, to support organizations committed to character education, anti-bullying, healthy relationships, and related topics, end quote. This is what happened over the summer, Emily. As you know, this story, though, it seems like the news cycle has restarted in some sense. So where do you think the attention and action should move next as people are contemplating, wait a minute, one of the main characters here was Bruce Allen, who was fired by this team in 2019 before any of this came to light?
Yes. I mean, I do want to touch on the fine real quick for anybody that thinks that that is a lot of money compared to his bank account. That's me getting a $200 speeding ticket. So a $10 million fine that is getting donated to charity that can now potentially be a tax write-off. The punishment doesn't really fit the crime there. But to answer your question, I think what I want to see next is really just true pressure on the NFL to release the report, and then true pressure on the sponsors to hold them accountable. And if that means pulling out of being a sponsor of the Washington football team or pulling out of being a sponsor of the NFL as a whole, then that's something that you should do, because that's where we're moving forward as a society as a whole, right? We're not tolerating this kind of behavior, and you can be a part of moving forward, or you can still remain being a part of the problem.
Emily Applegate, as always, thank you for going on the record with us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.